produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, March 25th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Get involved with the cannabis civil rights movement and join us here at Normal. You can learn everything you need to know at norml.org. Make a donation, write a letter, attend a rally, march for your rights. It all starts with you. Remember, the government estimates that there are millions of Americans that have smoked marijuana in the past month. If Congress had to hear a million phone calls asking for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, it would be a reality. Call your Congress at 202-225-3121. They'll ask for your zip code and put you in touch with your elected officials. It still is a government of we the people, but you have to step up and do your part. Tuesday is Government at Work Day here on the podcast, and coming up after the news, we're going to look at the work being done in the state of my birth, Idaho, with Ryan Davidson of the Liberty Lobby of Idaho, who has successfully passed pro-marijuana legislation in the city of Haley. After that, Cannabis Carrie brings us a nice slice of electronic music with musician-slash-programmer Ben Bass and his tune, I Smoke Herbs. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. New York's Governor Patterson says he used cocaine. From the Huffington Post. New York's new governor, who disclosed last week that he and his wife both committed adultery several years ago, said Monday that he used cocaine in his 20s and smoked marijuana when he was younger. In reference to cocaine, Governor David Patterson, 53, said in a television interview that he, quote, tried it a couple of times when he was about 22 or 23, end quote. And marijuana, probably when I was about 20, he said on the New York One cable news station. I don't think I touched marijuana since the 70s. Quote, more Americans have tried a lot more during that period of time and gone on to lead responsible lives and hopefully live their lives to the fullest, he said. Well, yes, the ones that weren't caught, Governor. Many of them have been sentenced and punished under New York State's draconian Rockefeller drug laws. You should do something about that now, Governor, and work to get those laws repealed and offer commutations of the sentences of the nonviolent drug offenders, like yourself, but the ones who are locked up in New York's overburdened prison system. Future looks bleak for marijuana bill, from the Nashua Telegraph, New Hampshire. By most accounts, a bill that would decriminalize possession of a small amount of marijuana in the state isn't going any further this session, despite the surprise vote of support in the House of Representatives last week. Governor John Lynch already has come out on record against the legislation, and Senate Majority Leader Joseph Foster, a Nashua Democrat, has said publicly that the measure, House Bill 1623, has virtually no chance to make it through his chamber. Still, Nashua's two young sponsors of the bill, freshman Democratic Representatives Jeffrey Fontas and Andrew Edwards, can take some solace in the fact that their bill actually got as far as it did this session. 3 years ago, a bill to decriminalize marijuana possession was handily rejected by the House 295-60, while last year a similar bill never even made it out of committee. So last week's surprise 193-141 vote by the House represents quite the turnaround. Opponents generally argued that marijuana use can lead to more serious drugs and that the bill was the first step toward making marijuana legal in New Hampshire. Others argued that it would send the wrong message to teens. That was exactly the point made by Colin Manning, the governor's press secretary, right after the House vote. Quote, "This sends absolutely the wrong message to New Hampshire's young people about the very real dangers of drug use. If the bill were to reach the governor's desk, which seems very unlikely, the governor would veto it," end quote. To be fair, there is some merit to that argument. In theory, at least, a lesser punishment could embolden some teens to experiment with marijuana who might not otherwise do so. But in reality, the states that have decriminalized marijuana have found no increase in the teen use of marijuana. We've even seen a decrease in the teen use of marijuana in the states that have accepted legal medical marijuana. What a surprise. It seems that the less forbidden that the herb is, the less that rebellious teens want to use it. 17-year-old dies after being tasered over Hot Pockets. From the Charlotte Local News, Charlotte, North Carolina. A 17-year-old who died after a police officer shocked him with a stun gun last week had marijuana hidden in his socks. And according to a search warrant, he'd been asked to leave the Food Lion where he worked before police arrived. Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer Jerry Dawson Jr. used his taser after police received a disturbance call at about 1:15 p.m. Thursday from the grocery store on Prosperity Church Road. Daryl Turner had worked in the University City store for about a year as a cashier and a bagger. Family members and co-workers said Turner, who graduated last year from a charter high school and planned to attend college, was a good student and reliable employee. His court record consists of 3 traffic offenses. His mother said her son had a temper but was not violent. She did say that Turner had come home for lunch Thursday and told her he had stolen a couple of Hot Pockets from the store. He was afraid of getting in trouble, she said, but she told him to go back to the store and admit what he did. Police received the disturbance call soon after. As Dawson arrived at the store, police said an agitated Turner threw something at a manager. Turner ignored Dawson's commands and advanced toward him. Dawson then used the taser to get him under control, police said. Turner was later pronounced dead at Carolina's Medical Center University. His death is the first taser-related fatality in the police department's history. Co-workers and friends said they never knew of Turner being reprimanded at work. Customers described him as mannerly and pleasant. Yes, another person's life ended by the indiscriminate use of tasers by police. You know, we were introduced to tasers as a non-lethal method of force to subdue a violent criminal and protect police. But lately, the taser is being used as a method of compliance, even when an officer is not in any grave danger. I encourage you to check out the taser files at PamsHouseBlend.com, where you can review too many of these instances, where tasers are misused and people die. Unless a perpetrator is wielding a gun or a knife or other significant physical advantage, there is no reason for an officer to use a taser, which is a 50,000 volt roll of the dice. The officer doesn't know if that person has a heart defect or is under the influence of drugs that would make the taser an instrument of death. You can check out the link to the taser files at PamsHouseBlend.com by visiting our blog at stash.normal.org.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Spike TV begins new reality series on the DEA by Mary Irene Cooper on the Huffington Post. when Spike TV begins airing their first ever original series, DEA, on April 2nd, viewers will see for themselves the shocking reality of the drug trade. This series is far more than just another cop show. This series puts the real in reality TV. There's nothing scripted or predictable about this show. It shows the gritty reality of drug enforcement and the violent drug underworld. Real DEA special agents, real cold-blooded criminals, real drug raids, and the very real dangers we face with every deal. Never before has DEA let cameras this deep into the drug trade. Viewers live the DEA creed to expect the unexpected. As much as we prepare, plan, and train, we can't control everything on a drug raid or undercover deal. All the planning could change the minute the reality of the street hits. You never know what's on the other side of the door until you go through it. And as we say, any time dope and money come together, there's a good chance of violence. You may ask DEA agents why we chose this career, one of the world's most dangerous. Why would anyone put themselves in a risky situation like buying dope from volatile dealers or crashing through doors of stash houses, not knowing what we'll find on the other side? The humble answers you will get include, because it's fun, or I didn't want a desk job. But the real reason we do it is because we believe in our mission. We believe it is a calling to do this job. We believe that we are the only line of defense standing between law-abiding citizens who deserve to live in drug-free neighborhoods and bad guys driven by greed to line their pockets with the blood-soaked riches of a destructive trade. And you know what you won't be seeing on the new DEA series? Body-armored agents with automatic weapons drawn, bursting into a legal medical marijuana dispensary or garden in California, forcing disabled people to the ground with guns at their temples, handcuffing terminally ill patients in wheelchairs, all for abiding by the will of the voters in their state and the opinion of their doctor that marijuana can help relieve the symptoms of their debilitating condition. Rather than being the line of defense protecting Americans from the bad guys driven by greed, the DEA is actually the line of offense in the prohibition that causes all of the blood-soaked riches and violent drug underworld. They are the descendants of Elliot Ness and the Untouchables, who policed alcohol prohibition in the 1920s, a time of bootlegging underworld where the bad guys driven by greed use violence to secure their blood-soaked riches. We learned then that eliminating the prohibition eliminated the violence. Why can't we relearn that lesson yet regarding drugs?
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, the ego cries, the birds they sing, the creatures learn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah. It's an honest day's work.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org. And let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises.
flies high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
All right, well, I'm very happy here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash to be welcoming an activist from my home state of Idaho, which is great news to hear. This is Ryan Davidson from the Liberty Lobby of Idaho, who joined us by telephone from Boise, Idaho. So, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I wanted to contact you because, of course, I am from the state of Idaho, and I recall, you know, as I was trying to become an activist there, how difficult it was in such a conservative state to make any headway on the issue of marijuana policy reform. But you seem to have done a great job by focusing not in our home city of Boise, but instead more toward the central Idaho town of Haley. So let's tell our listeners a little bit about your marijuana decriminalization measures that you managed to pass up in the city of Haley.
Well, I managed to pass three initiatives. We had four on the ballot. The one that didn't pass was to tax and regulate marijuana like alcohol and tobacco. The ones that did pass were for medical marijuana. One was for lowest police priority, and one for industrial hemp. And the reason that I chose the city of Haley to get started was it's actually a kind of an anomaly in Idaho. Haley is located in Blaine County. Blaine County is the only, I guess you could say, Democratic majority county in the state of Idaho. So out of 44 counties, that was the only one that voted for Al Gore in 2000 and John Kerry in 2004. So if I was going to try, you know, get started in Idaho, you know, to go to where I would have the best chance of winning, and turned out to be correct.
Yeah, Haley, Idaho is like a little blue dot in a big red sea when you're looking at the electoral maps. And as far as the geography of Idaho goes, Haley, Idaho is just south of the ski resort, the world-famous ski resort of Sun Valley, where, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger and many celebrities are often found up there in Sun Valley. And the people of Haley, it tends to be kind of the bedroom community of all of the service and industry workers who work up there in the Sun Valley Resort, which may lead a little bit to its more labor-friendly and democratic leanings. Now, the controversy that's erupted since you've passed these measures has to do with the Haley City Council not wanting to abide by the will of the people. Let's tell everybody what's happening there since those measures have passed.
Well, that's right. You know, and it's surprising to some degree that they would be so willing to stand against the will of the people, but on another hand, it's not surprising because they were the ones who refused to allow me to do this 3 years ago, which necessitated the need for a big lawsuit that lasted 3 years.
And that went to the Idaho Supreme Court, correct?
Yeah, I took that by myself without an attorney all the way to the Idaho Supreme Court and got a major victory, which now says that anyone in Idaho can circulate any type of petition for any type of initiative they want. The city council can't do anything about it until it's actually enacted. Well, now that it actually has been enacted, now the question is what's going on? Well, they're technically the law of the city now. The fact that these initiatives passed does make them law. However, the city council is refusing to implement them, essentially. Each of the initiatives calls for the creation of a citizen oversight committee that should be appointed by members of the city council and by the Liberty Lobby of Idaho. And this citizens committee is supposed to oversee the details and get things started with the initiatives. Well, they've so far refused to call or to appoint the committee, and they refused to take any action. And they, ever since it was passed, they've been sort of wringing their hands trying to figure out how are we going to get rid of these initiatives. Well, their first idea was to simply amend them into oblivion. Of course, they weren't going to outright repeal them because that would tend to lead to a backlash of the voters. So their slick plan was to simply, you know, repeal the provisions they thought would be in violation of the law, which basically they were going to take out everything except the citizens committee. So you'd have a citizens committee to implement no initiative, basically.
Right.
A little bit ridiculous there, and what I did was when I saw that they were not going to respect the will of the people, I actually put these initiatives on the ballot again. I had put put my paperwork in order during the last campaign so that I could get these on the ballot again for a low signature requirement. So I actually qualified all four initiatives to the May primary ballot, and they are scheduled to be voted on. Well, once the city found out about that, they said, well, I guess repealing these isn't going to help, or amending these isn't going to help, because they're just going to get passed again. So why don't we just let the courts do our dirty work for us? And they came up with a plan whereby the mayor, the chief of police, and one councilman would, as private citizens, file a lawsuit against the city of Haley in an attempt to get the courts to declare that the initiatives were unconstitutional and unenforceable. And so that's kind of where we are right now. They've threatened to do this about a month ago, and so far I do not believe that they've filed the lawsuit. Not sure what they're waiting for or if their plans have changed, but I think I was able to counter that pretty good, and I had a story placed in the local newspaper that made the offer to the city that I would take the new initiatives off the ballot if they would be willing to meet with me in a, you know, the spirit of cooperation and come to some sort of compromise position where we could implement, you know, the spirit of the initiatives, you know, perhaps amend some of the more controversial, you know, provisions of the initiatives, but do something to respect the will of the people. And so I put it out there that if they would simply just meet with me and discuss how we could do this, you know, they wouldn't have to file the lawsuit, and I would cancel the next election. Well, to date, I have not heard from the city council, and I guess we're kind of at a stalemate at this point.
Well, we'll definitely keep track of the issue. We're following all the states that are doing something to try to end adult marijuana prohibition, and taking a step like this in a very conservative state can be one of the most difficult tasks to try to pull off. So we definitely appreciate the work you're doing there in the state of Idaho. And they like to point out that that you are not a user of cannabis in any way, but that this is more of a libertarian issue, an issue of getting the will of the people respected and respecting people's personal privacy.
Well, sure, yeah, and you know, I used to be the state chairman of the Libertarian Party. I'm a Republican now on the Republican Central Committee in Idaho. But the war on drugs has always been an issue for me, and I think that specifically the war on marijuana is perhaps the most offensive aspect of the war on drugs, because obviously marijuana is demonstrably less harmful than alcohol and tobacco, as far as, you know, the social problems go. So I truly believe that, you know, a free country should have the right to decide what, you know, what citizens can and should put in their body. And, if they choose to put marijuana in their body, then that's their choice as an American. So, yeah, it truly was an issue, you know, a principled issue for me to go after. I think that I'm able to deflect some of the criticism that marijuana advocates get sometimes from opposition that, oh, the only reason you want to legalize marijuana is because you want to go smoke it yourself.
Right.
Now, that's a stupid argument because, as we all know, it's fairly easy to get marijuana even though it is illegal. So access is never really the issue for marijuana advocates. It's really to tackle the social problems. And so and that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to tackle the social problems and get people talking about the implication of putting people in jail for, you know, possession and whatnot. And we see it happening in Idaho all the time. Just the other day, I met with a 19-year-old college student at Boise State University. Real sharp guy. He's got about a 3.4 grade point average. Well, he was stupid one time, and he decided to sell a little bit of marijuana to his friends to make a little extra money, and got pulled over, and the cops found him with some marijuana and some baggies, and now he had to make a plea deal to go to prison for a year. So, I mean, this is just a bright young kid whose future is probably going to be ruined because of the war on drugs and the war on marijuana. And, I mean, we still have mandatory minimum sentences in Idaho, like a lot of states. And these are all things that need to be talked about. And until I, you know, got these on the ballot, I think there wasn't a lot of discussion or a lot of hope that in Idaho anything was going to get going on this issue. So I'm glad that I can get people talking about it, and I'm getting requests from people all over the state. They want to run initiatives in their cities, and, you know, that makes me feel good that I was able to inspire some people.
Absolutely. And you know, you bring back the principle of the issue. And one of the principles I like to say that in a free country, we don't have to prove something safe in order for people to have it. We have to prove something's dangerous in order to restrict it. And we seem to have the opposite effect here with marijuana, that they want to keep it illegal, even though it's been demonstrably shown to be safer than the legal drugs that we currently use, alcohol and tobacco. So we've been speaking with Ryan Davidson from the Liberty Lobby of Idaho, who's been working diligently in getting pro-marijuana laws passed in the city of Haley, Idaho. We'll keep up on this story at stash.normal.org. And Ryan, is there a website of yours that we could direct people to?
Sure. IdahoLibertyLobby.org is our website. There's a lot of the old news stories on there. Unfortunately, I haven't updated that in a while because I'm not a web guy, so we're always looking for volunteer help. If you go to the Idaho Mountain Express's website, that's the local paper in Blaine County, and do a search, you can find all the stories about what's been going on in Haley and Ketchum and Sun Valley, because originally 3 years ago I went up there to do all three cities. So check that out. Feel free to send me an email for any information. Of course, we're always looking for donations to keep the work going, and looking for donations of legal services, too. Would definitely appreciate the help of any attorneys out there who are interested in doing some work on this issue pro bono. Please feel free to give me a call.
All right. You heard the request. If you're listening to this audio stash in the great gem state of Idaho, please get a hold of Ryan Davidson and volunteer to help the Liberty Lobby of Idaho make a positive change in drug policy in that state. Ryan, thanks for joining us here on the stash today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Today on The Stash, I have a bit of electronica for all you techno fans. Like many good trip-hop artists, Ben Bass has created an entire world just for his music. Listing his home planet as Zorg, and having survived an intergalactic war that destroyed said planet, Ben Bass now lives in San Francisco making fierce drumbeat rhythms and living as a superhero. Although light on lyrics, today's musical hit, I Smoke Herbs, has a great beat, a smooth rhythm, and some nice horns. Too bad Zorg was destroyed. Seems like a nice place to produce music. You can visit Ben Bass's world on his own podcast page or visit his MySpace page through the links at our site, stash.normal.org. He's just another great tune from our Podshow Music Network at music.podshow.com, and you can get an MP3 download at our blog, stash.normal.org. This is Ben Bass, and I Smoke Herbs.
Now, I'm not going to ask you again, what did you smoke?
I'm not telling you, I won't.
I'm not going to ask you again now. What did you smoke? Tell me now.
All right. I smoked herbs.
I smoked herbs.
Hi, I'm Rick Steves, and you're enjoying Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Please take a moment right now to support this organization by donating online.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from
Dan Quayle, former vice president and representative to Congress. Quote, Congress should definitely consider decriminalizing possession of marijuana. We should concentrate on prosecuting the rapists and burglars who are a menace to society. End quote. Couldn't agree more, Mr. Quayle. Even if you can't spell potato, you definitely got it right on the marijuana issue. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back Wednesday with our look at cannabis science, an interview with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and more. So we'll see you next time. Take care of each other.